is Daf Kuf Gimel, but let's take it from the bottom of Kuf Beis Amud Beis, around 8 lines up. The Tanur Rabbanan, the first two words on the line, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tanur Rabbanan, a bit of a cryptic Braisa. Halokech Sada B'Shem Chavero Ein Kofen Osol Limchor. A person buys a field in the name of his friend, he's not forced to sell. Again, unclear who the Shem Chavero is, who's being forced to sell. And Vim Amar Lo Al Manask, if he says to the mocher on condition, then kofen osol limchor, then you force him to sell. Again, don't expect to understand anything here. This is very cryptic. So Gemara tries to figure out my kamar. What exactly does this brisa mean? Summer of Sheshish. Rav Sheshish says hachi kamar. The way the brisa is meant is as follows: Halokeach sade mechavero b'shem reish kalusa. A guy purchases a field, but he says he's buying it from his friend. He's buying on behalf of the reish kalusa. Now it's not really true. He wants to represent the Reish Kalusa because Reish Kalusa was a scary individual. And this way, prevent anyone else from claiming rights to that field. So he quoted, I'm buying B'Shem Reish Kalusa, but that's incorrect. Ein kofen osol Reish Kalusa limchor. So now, wait a second. So this guy goes ahead and buys his land, and it's really in the name of the Reish Kalusa, even though Reish Kalusa never appointed him. So now, the guy can't say, Reish Kalusa, you really own this field. I just bought it for you because your name's on the title. Now force the Reish Kalusa to go write a shtar to me. Now he's going to sell it out to me. You can't do that. You can't force the Reish Kalusa to do that. Vim Amar Amanas Kofenes Reish Kalusa Limchor. But if the Lokach says, I'm buying the land from you, from the Mocher, on condition that the Reish Kalusa sells it to me, so then this reading says you're allowed to force the Reish Kalusa to write a shtar to me that I really own it. So now this too isn't so clear. So Gemara says, Amar Mar, Halokeach Sade B'Shem Reish Kalusa Ein Kofeno. So if I buy a land on behalf of the Reish Kalusa, really though I wasn't appointed to, I can't force the Reish Kalusa Ein Kofeno So Reish Kalusa Limchor. Mechlal though, Dimakne Kanile. So if I say I'm representing the Reish Kalusa, even though that's false, and I buy it, it's really his. It's really the Reish Kalusa's now. And I can't go ahead and sell it and buy it from him. I can't force him to sell it to me. So, but it's a good kinyan. He actually has rights to it. Michal de mikne kanilai. Does he really own it though? Lema pliga de bnei marava suggests then that this brisa goes against the bnei marava, the people from the west, Eretz Yisrael. Damri, that they would say in Eretz Yisrael, v'chi mi hodio lebal chitin sheyikne chitin lebal habayis. So I'm going ahead to buy land, buy wheat from you. And I'm representing Reuven. So I don't tell you I'm representing Reuven, and you sell me the wheat. So the Bnei Marava says it's not a good kinyan, because if I'm really representing Reuven, and you don't know that, you weren't willing to makne the chita to Reuven. You wanted to be makne to me. So you can't represent someone incorrectly. So here too as well. If I'm representing Reish Kalusa, but it's not really true, so then there's not going to be a good kinyan. There are different cases. One case where I'm not saying who the Mishaleach is. Or there even is one, right? And one is saying, I am representing Reish Kalusa, even though it never really happened. But there's something that Baal Bais doesn't really know what's going on. He's mocked it to a person who it's not really going to. So that's not going to be a good kinyan. How could the Reish Kalusa buy this if he was never asked to buy it and the machna never was willing to sell it to him?
If I buy a field for somebody else, so now what exactly is happening?
You have to tell the mocher who you're buying it for. Who you're representing.
Why is that?
Because he has to know. He has to have das who he's selling it to. It's all of this in Yonim is das.
So why would I feel from you? If I don't say anything, then you assume that it's going to me.
Right, exactly.
So well, there's that star situation? In both cases, somebody's name has to be on the star.
Someone's name has to be on the star. So that's the point. The star is the one who's he's representing, really? Reish Kalusa, but it's not really true. Like, you know, a guy buys a house next door for the shul, but you know, if the shul's going to buy it, the guy's going to raise the price. Cause so you have some other guy go, some guy who doesn't, is not part of the shul, who they don't know, and he buys it in his name, but it really it's for the shul. So is that going to work? Is that going to be a good sale? So again, what's being written on the document? It comes down, they make the deal, whose name in the sign? Is it going to be H. Kodesh's name, or it's going to be Ezra Cohen's name on it? So I'm not sure how the document's going to play out, and how the mocher, when he'll be aware, if he ever will be aware. It sounds to me that the document is whoever the mocher was aware of buying it, it's Ezra Cohen's house now. But you want to give it to Aish now. So now, how does that work? I don't know, but the mice is not a good sale if it really was for Aish and it wasn't, though. If he didn't know that. It's not a good sale if he didn't know. If you sell something to one person and end up going to another person, that's not a good sale. So that can't be what this Bryson means. So then the Gemara says, Imishimha, if that's your only difficulty, halakasha, that's not so problematic because I could get out of this very easily. Kigon do lebal sadeh vodinu lesadeh. No. The only reason why he represented the Reish Galusa because I wanted to scare everybody else away from this land, that they shouldn't start complaining. You're dealing with the Reish Galusa here. Now, I told in the private, in their little office room, we met upstairs to make the deal. I told the Mocher, I told the Edom, it's not really going with the Reish Galusa. And if they were aware of this, so then there's full das from the Mocher and the Edom, and that would be a good sale. And this would be okay then. It would be a good kinyan. So then the Gemara says, Ella, Ema, Seifa, fine, but look at the Seifa that says, Almanas, Kofanos, Reish Galusa, Limchor. But if I say to the Mocher, sell to me on condition that it's the Reish Galusa's, so then you could force the Reish Galusa to sell back to me now. Am I? Why? How does that work? How can I go ahead and force the Reish Galusa to do something? He wasn't involved in this case at all. I'm just dragging him into the case here. Velema, Reish Galusa, the Reish Galusa could just turn around and say, Lo yikraich ba'in, I don't need your kavod that you're using my name to scare people away. Lo zilusaich ba'in, I don't need your disgrace either that you're making me come to your office building now and sell a document and I'm selling you the land. I don't need any of this stuff. You can't just drag me into this. So therefore, that can't be their interpretation of this brisa. Ella, the Gemara says in the last line of Kuf Beis Amabez, Ella Amar Baya Baya, it says, Halchi Ka'amar, the brisa is understood as follows, Halokeach Sada B'Shem Chaveiro. A person buys a field in the name of the name of Chaveiro, that there's a parenthesis that says Reish Galusa, we normally don't read them. The Rashi in the bottom here does have the Girsa Reish Galusa. Let's see how it reads in the Gemara, though. Gemara says, Ein Kofin Es HaMocher Limchor Zimna Achrisa. So what's going on here? If you look at Rashi in the top of Kuf Gimel, he says Ein Kofin Es HaMocher Lach Zor V'Lichto Shar Mechira Acher L'Lokeach. Because the first time around, he bought it. Let's say he was using. Let's have the Girsa Reish Galusa. I bought it for the first time in the name Reish Galusa just to scare everybody away. Now it's not really his. He didn't ask me to buy it from him. So now let's make a second deal. Now I scared everybody away. Now me and you, let's sit down again and write me another document that you're selling the land to me. We can't force the Mocher to do that. A second time. But the Gemara says, Im Amar Lo Almanas, if I say I'm buying from you on condition, then Kofin Es HaMocher Limchor, then we can force the Mocher to sit down a second time, because I made the Tanai on condition that you end up selling to me. Since that was a built-in stipulation, we can force the Mocher to write it a second time. So the Gemara now analyzes each of these stages now of this new interpretation of the Braisa, Amar Mar. Halokeach sada mishem chaveru ein kofin es hamocher limchor zimnachri. So we can't force the mocher to sell a second, write another document. Shita, that's very obvious. Ma'al dusema, what would you have thought? What was a havamina to make the mocher write a second star for me? Matzi amrle the lokeach kitzaitim miyada yadas daner lenafshi shaklinu. You were well aware, I say to the mocher, that I was buying the land for myself. Upan chay baal mahu de kavina. And simply because I wanted to save myself in the land, I used the Reish Galusa's name. But you know that wasn't my real intention. V'zuza b'chdi lo shadina. I don't throw money away for nothing, b'chdi, for no reason. So el daita der kasev le sharachina. I did this whole deal on condition that you would write it a second document for me. That was clearly my intention. So kamash malan, if you didn't make a stipulation, it doesn't work. Damar le in yana avdi lecha b'hade. That's kamash malan. No. Damar le in yana avdi lecha. Bahadeh hahu dizamta le bishmei. So that Indian that you did, Bahadeh, that guy, meaning the Reish Galusa that you bought it for, in his name, yichtav l'chash sharachin. Let him go through the tirchah with him. Make him write the new document of sale to you. Why are you bothering me again? You used his name, so make him write you the document. Then it said, im amar lo almanas kofenis amocher limchor. But let's say I made the condition with the mocher that sell me the land on condition that you write a second document for me. So then we force the mocha to write a second document. Pshita, that's very obvious. That was a tanai. How could you go back on that? So Lotzicha is only needed for the following case. Amar lehu l'sade, he says to the witnesses, Kame didei, in front of him, Chaze deshar achrina kabaina. He says to the other Edom, I want a second document after we do this first deal. So Ma'al deshema, that's very obvious. What would you have thought? Matzi amar lehi, the mocha could say to him, Amina shtara mehach de kashaklis bishmei kamris. I thought you meant you want a second document from the other guy, the Reish Galusa, who you're using, not from me. Fine, I knew you wanted a second document, but who said I have to write the second document? Kamash Milan, we come from here, Damar Le, Lahachi Tarcha. This is the reason why I did the Tircha. And Amri Lila Edim, I brought the Edim Kamech in front of you. Diminach, in front of you, Dafka, who the Kabayim, because I wanted it from you. Diminach, I wanted the Shtar from you. And now it's really clear, the Raglan Medaver, all the Tircha that I went through, was clear that I wanted the second document from you, and there's no backing out. We could be Kofin, the Mocher, to sell a second document, to write a second document. Okay, so that's the case. We're good? Clear? Great. Mara says, Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, halfway down. Rav Kahana Yaiv Zuza Akisna. Rav Kahana had paid some money for some flax. Lesof, in the end of the day, Ayakar Kisna, the kiss of the flax went up in value before he ever received it. He just paid money. He paid, I don't know, $10 for flax, and that went up to $20 before he actually received it. So he's owed $10 of flax by the mocher. What happens is, though, so Zivne Marvasa, the Kisna, the owner, the Mar, the owner of the Kisna, sold the flax that he was really owned to Rav Kahana before he ever got the Kisna. So now what's going to happen? Whose Kisna did he sell? That was mine, Rav Kahana says. So the $20 he just made, the $20 should come to me, because that was my flax that he sold. So also the Kamei de Rav, Rav Kahana went in front of Rav to ask him a Shaila. Amar le ma'avid, what can be done? Ezel ishke zuzeh. Go take your money back. Take the $10 back that you paid him. You get the money back, and it cancels null and void. Amar le ikazavni amri... Hi, Kisna de Kahana. If when the guy sold it, he said, I'm selling you the Kisna, the flax of Kahana, Huzal Shakyo. So go take the $20 now, because he advertised he's selling your Kisna, so you have the $20 is all yours now. Vilo, but if he doesn't advertise that it's yours, he just simply sells a piece of flax pretending it's his, Lo Tishkal, you can't take it. And therefore, you could just get your $10 back that you gave him, that's all. Kiman. So who does this psak go like? It must go like Kibnei Marava, like the people of Eretz Yisrael. The Amar Mi Hodio Lebal Chitin Shik Nechitin Lebal Maos. When this owner of the Kisna sold, the Baal Kisna sold it, he didn't tell the Lokach he's buying it for Rav Kahana, he just pretending he was selling his own Kisna. So now the buyer of the Kisna didn't want to buy from Rav Kahana, he wanted to buy from the Baal Kisna. So therefore, it doesn't work. You can't represent Rav Kahana unless you actually state it's for Rav Kahana. That's why all Rav Kahana's claim in the end of the day is the initial $10 that he gave. So the Gemara says, Atu mi yad Rav Kahana arba vishakal timna kisna mimela hu dayakar. So what's going on here? Did Rav Kahana give 4 and could he take 8? What's the question? Let's look at Rashi for a second. See Rashi. Atu, you see Rashi. My ichbaslan bekaknasan. V'chi Rav Kahana asid litol maos haya. Did he really want to take money? V'yitol ribis shenasan l'dal v'yitol ches. How does that work? That doesn't even make sense. Rav Kahana paid $4. Now this Baal HaKisna took the kisna and sold it for $8. That's the example of Rashi uses 4 and 8 or the Gemara. So now Rav Kahana is making $8. He lent $4 to the Baal HaKisna. Now he's making back $8. That's ribis. So you can't do that. That doesn't work either. That can't be the situation. So the Gemara says, Kisna Mimela Hu Diyakar. No, it's not because he's making any ribis. The kisna, the piece of flax, just went up in value. That's not called ribis. It went up in value and someone sold it. He made a profit. That's not called ribis. The Gemara says, Migzal Gzela. What happened really is that the guy stole Rav Kahana's kisna. He owes him money. Vitznan, the Mishnah says, Kalagaz Lanim Mishalman Kishasa Gzela. So everybody holds, you have to pay the Shasa Gzela. So what's going on here exactly? So really, all he owes him is $4, not the $8. He owes him only the $4 because this Baal Kisna is a Gazlan. And the Gazlan pays back the money, whatever he stole. So in this case, the Kisna is not available anymore. It's sold off. So all he really owes him is the $4 because he's a Gazlan. So Gemara says, no. Amri, let's understand this for a second. Hasam, by the case of Rav Kahana, Amana Hava, he paid him money. He didn't do a mashicha. The kinyan was never complete. He lent him some money, and then that's it. But he doesn't own the property. He doesn't own the metaltolin. So therefore, that's why he's returned only the $4 back. He didn't do gzela there. It was never a kinyan. Rav l'tamen. Rav said, based on this is his reason, this is Rav's shita in general, the Rav, osin amana biperos. A person could give money for payos, even though he didn't receive it yet, and say, I'm giving you $4, I'm expecting money back in return. And even though if the payos went up in value, he gets the payos that he paid for. But ve'ein osin amana b'damim. But a person can't make amana b'damim. So let's look at Rashi for a second here. See, look at Rashi. B'peros, he says, l'ka b'peros b'shar ha'yukar. Ve'ein osin amana b'damim. K'shabal l'shar ha'yukar, when you're coming to assess the more expensive rate, l'ka b'peros avim, also litan lo mocher damim, shal achshav d'mechsek ribis d'yav le'tarti slaim v'shakal arba. Right. So if I pay, let's say, $4 right now on Sunday, and then I'm owed $4 of apples, then Tuesday comes, and before you give me the apples, they go up to $8 for the same amount. So you can't give me according to the more expensive rate of the Tuesday, because that looks like ribbis, because I paid according to the Sunday's rate, not the Tuesday's rate. I gave for the cheaper amount. And if I'm making more money on the Tuesday, that's considered ribbis. I lent him some money, I'm getting back more than what I really gave.
He gave $4 for apples, and now on Tuesday he wants to give him back what?
So now he's giving him apples. Now apples are worth now $8, let's say. They're more expensive.
Right.
So if you give the apples according to the rates now, so now I'm making money because they're more valuable now.
Right.
You have to go based on the rates were on Sunday.
So I think you have half the amount of apples.
Half the amount, that seems right. That's what seems going on here. So, but the idea is here that we see from all this, though, that money alone, although it guarantees I'm owed the payros back, it's not a kinyan yet on the payros. I don't own the payros until I actually receive the payros. It just creates and finalizes the agreement, but I don't owe the fruit. So when I was at Rav Kana and I bought the kisna, when he saw the kisna, that wasn't gzela yet. It wasn't mine just yet. And when he sells it off, he just owes me the money back or the same value of kisna, flax that he owes me.
So when you buy futures, it's not yet really getting the item.
Right. Yeah, that's what it seems like.
So like the rights.
Exactly. You get the rights. That's what it seems like. Okay. Mission down the bottom says, Masnisin hagoza es chaveiro shava pruta. A person steals from someone something the worth of a shava pruta. Menishbalo, and he swears that he didn't steal anything. And then at the end of the day, he's hodilo, he admits. So now in Gaza, normally he pays back to the Karen, but when he takes his false shvua and admits to the false shvua, he pays an additional chomesh. So now what happens is, the Mishnah says, Yolichenu, right now we're not concerned with the Chomesh, he just takes the Shavuah. He takes the Shavuah, and now because he takes the Shavuah, the Halacha is, Yolichenu Achrav L'Madai. He has to chase him, even if he goes all the way out to Madai, I need to chase down this Nigzal to make sure I give him the money back. And also, Lo Yitein Lo Livno, Lo Lishluchu, it's not enough that I give his son or a Shliach of his, I need to hand it in his hand, the money that I owe him. Aval, what I can do is, No Sein Lishliach Bezin, but if it's a representative of Bezin, so then I'm allowed to pay the representative of Bezin, the Shliach Bezin. Rashi explains the Svara here. Rashi says, Yolichenu Achrav Afilu Lamad, I need to chase, no matter, I can chase him to Australia if I need to. Dein lo kapara achi achsi l'nigzal atma, I don't have the full kapara until I hand it into the nigzal. The chsiv, as the pasuk says, Lasher hu lo. The gavi nishpa l'sheker chsiv. The pasuk of returning back lo to him in his hand, it's in the context of making a shvua and denying anything I stole from you. So dafka, when I make a shvua, is when I need to chase him down. So then Rashi says, lo yitnu lavno, I can't give it to his son, shel nigzal, of the nigzal, leholich l'nigzal, shim yansu, if I do give it to the son and the son loses it, chay l'hachse, I need to give him more money. I need to make sure that the nigzal gets his payment. De lo havi hashava ad demati liyade kedamrin. It doesn't get, the hashava is not complete until it gets into the hand of the nigzal. But Rashi says, l'sheach bezdim, allowed to give it to shliach bezdim. The reason is because takantahu da'avid rabbanim. The rabbanim made a special takana. B'pnei ha'takana shashavim. They always wanted to encourage people to do tshuva. So to make it a little bit easier for me, instead of chasing him down to Australia, if I give it to shliach bezdim, that's sufficient. Shelo nechayiv lazeh lahotzi mana b'hotzah derech. They didn't want me to spend take the airfare all the way to Australia to pay back the $1. It's enough to give it to the local bezdim and represent the nigzal. And whenever he makes it back, he'll get the money back. Yeah. Or sell
you can't give it to the son. You're not allowed to give it to the son, or they don't want you to give it to the son because something might happen to him.
Sounds right.
If you do give it to the son, and the son gives it to him.
Right. So it sounds like from here that if it gets to his hand somehow, then you're Yosef. But at the same time, it's not good advice. It's not recommended because if it gets lost, then you have to pay another pruta. Mishnah says, "Vim mace, if the individual dies, the nigzal dies, yachse li yorshev, then you can return the money to his children." You pay him back the dollar, but you don't pay him the chomesh that you owe him. or machalo al hakeren, or you, he's mocha, you know, I don't need the pruta, keep the money to yourself. V'lo machalo al chomesh, but he's not mocha on the chomesh, so there's still outstanding 20 cents he owes him. Machalo al zev al zeh, he's mocha on both the keren and on the chomesh. I still want a shavapruta. Now shavapruta, I mentioned the other day, Rav Shech went through a whole calculation. It's worth like between a penny and 2 pennies as a shavapruta. Very, very small, obviously. So I still want that 1 penny left. So, or v'chutz mipachas mishavapruta b'keren. So then the halacha is, ein otzarach leilech acharav. You don't have to chase after him. If there's that small amount of money left, you don't have to chase after him. Let's say nasan los hachomish. You pay him the chomish, v'lo nasan los hakeren, but you don't pay him the keren. Or machalo al chomish. He's mocha. You know, the chomish is so insignificant. I'm mocha, but if he's lo mocha al hakeren, but I still want the keren that you stole from me. Or machalo al zel val zel. He's mocha on both parts. Chutz mishar pruta bekeren, with the exception of a little pruta, then he's tsarach leilech acharav. He has to chase after him, even to Australia, to pay him back the money. Nasin lo as hakeren v'nishba lo al chomish. He gives back the keren. And he said to Shua, oh, I paid the chomish back to you also. Right? Initially, he stole money and he made a first shvua on denying it. Then he admitted. So let's say he stole a dollar. Now he's owed a dollar plus 20 cents, plus a chomish. Then he returns a dollar back. And he says, oh, I also returned a chomish back, even though he didn't. He took a shvua sheker. So now he admits that he made a false shvua. He owes 20 cents now. But he owes another chomish on those 20 cents. He owes another 4 cents, a total of 24 cents. So now the halacha is, the Mishnah says on the top of Kuf Gimel and Beis, Hareze Mishan Chomish al Chomish. Now he pays the 20 cents of the Chomish plus another 4 cents on the new Chomish of the Chomish. And he pays up every additional Shrua Sheker he takes. He pays all the additional Chomishes Ad Shi Yismait Harkarim Mishavapruta, until what he swears on is less than a Shavapruta. So now he's admitted to making Shrua 20 cents, but he now owes an additional 4 cents. So now he owes a total of 24 cents. He returns 20 cents of Karen, but he doesn't return a 4 cents. So now he makes a shvua, I paid you the chomish already of 4 cents, but he really didn't. So now he owes 4 cents plus a chomish of that, which is going to be less than a penny. So now he says, he returns the 4 cents like he's supposed to, because that's the new Karen. And he says, I took a shvua, I paid the chomish also. And turns out he didn't, since that last chomish is less than 1 penny, so then he's pater from it, no longer goes anymore. Hakarim Mishar Pruta, Ad Shiyismayit Hakarim Mishar Pruta, fine. V'chem b'pikadon, Shenemar, all these halachas apply by a pikadon, a guy's watching something. Oh, as the pasuk says, Shenemar, O b'pikadon, O b'tsumas yad, O b'gezel, O esek, Esamisa, O matza veda, V'chichesh ba, V'nishba al hasheker, as the pasuk says, if you deny payment, if you deny object you're watching, all these types of kfiras, where you take a shvu sheker and your moda, you have to make pay a chomesh in addition to the keren. Hareiz and mishalim keren v'chomesh v'ashem. There is also a carbon ashem that's brought as well for these. Okay, so the Gemara is now medayik from the Mishnah. The Mishnah right in the beginning said, before he introduced anything about chomesh, it said the guy stole a shavapruta and he took a shvu a sheker. He has to chase after him to madai. So the implication is nishba lo in only if he takes a shvua. Does he have to chase after him all the way to Australia? But lo nishba lo, if he doesn't take a shvuah, lo, he doesn't have to chase after him. If he said, I didn't, I stole money from the guy, and then he didn't take a shvuah, and then he admitted to stealing it, he doesn't have to chase him down to Australia. Only if he takes a shvuah does he have to chase him to Australia. Why is that? Money, who is the author of the Mishnah? It's lo Rabbi Tarfon v'lo Rabbi Akiva. Why? Who are these? The Sani, the Brisa teaches us, gazel echad mechamish. I ran to someone, there's a apartment of men, guys in a dormitory, 5 guys, and I stole money out of some guy's pocket. One of the guy's wallets was sitting around. I stole $10. Now, I'm not sure which guy's wallet it was. It was someone's wallet. So now I don't know who I took from. So, gazel echad mechamisha v'einu yodea, ezem et mehem, which one I stole from. V'chol echad omer, oh, see, gazel, you stole from me. And this guy says, no, you stole from me. Well, each of the 5 guys claimed that it was his $10. So the law is, according to Rabbi Tarfon, Meniach Gezela Benem. I say, here's the $10, guys, in your dorm, and I'm running out of here. Umisalik Divre, and he runs away. Divre Rabbi Tarfon. That's how you're Yosef. All you stole was $10, so you owe $10. Who gets it? Well, that's up to you guys to figure out. That sheet is Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lo Zu Derech Motzia. So that's not the way to fulfill your obligation as a Gazlan. Lo Zu Derech Motzia Miad Avera. Pay each of the 5 guys $10, and this way you're Yotze. So money, who authored our mission now? Rabbi Tarfon authored our Mishnah, even though the Gazan may have taken a Shavua Sheker, he says he leaves it in the middle and runs away. He doesn't have to chase him to Madai, even if he took a Shavua. Rabbi Tarfon says, in all circumstances, you place it and run. So he can't be the author of the Mishnah where the Mishnah says, if you took a Shavua, then you have to chase him. And if you didn't take a Shavua, you don't have to chase him. So that Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, you never have to chase him. And he, Rabbi Akiva, Afa Gabdalo Ishtaba, Rabbi Akiva holds, even if you didn't take a Shavua, Amar Achi Yishalim Gezela Lechal Echad Ve'achad, you have to pay each one individually, even if there wasn't a Shavua. You have to chase him to Australia to make sure you've fulfilled your obligation. Forget the Shavua. So Gemara says, Liolam Rabbi Akiva. He really, Rabbi Akiva, authored our Mishnah. V'chi Kama Rabbi Akiva Achi Yishalim Gezela Lechal Echad Ve'achad. When Rabbi Akiva said that you have to pay each party, that's only a situation, Heicha Dishtabahu Dukamar, only when you took a Shavua, that's when you have to pay each individual. But if you didn't take a Shavua, you don't have to go so far. And he's the author of our Mishnah. My time was Rabbi Akiva's reasoning for this. Because the Pasuk says, in the end of Parshas Vayikra, it says, Lasher Hulo Yitnenu B'yom HaShemaso. To the one, Lasher Hulo, you have to return the money to Lo, to him, to each person who you might think it is, to chase him to Asher, to Madai. The context of this pasuk is referring to when you took a shvuah. So only when you took a shvuah is the obligation to make sure he gets it. So Rabbi Akiva authored our Mishnah. You could drop it and run.
Well, he says you will drop it and run. So
that's not our Mishnah. Mishnah says you have to chase him down. Rabbi Tarfon, Afagav, the Ishtabi, Rabbi Tarfon says, even though you took a shvuah, Avid Rabbanan Takante, meaning Rabbanan, really Rabbi Tarfon agrees, sounds like he agrees that to Rabbi Akiva. Midderaisa, you take a shvuah, you have to return it to him. But the Chacham made a special takana for the benefit of the Gazlan, that the Sani Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok Omer, takana gadola hiskinu. He made a great takana. She'im hayisa hotza yaseir al hakaren. If the expense, the cost to return it is more than what he actually owes, he owes $10, but it takes $1,000 to take, probably more, to go to Australia. So then, he doesn't have to go spend $1,000 to pay the $10 he owes. So the Takana Gadola they made, that if the, again, the Hotzah, the expenses, are Yisair Al HaKaren, on more than what he owes, then Mishalim Karen V'Chomesh LeBezdin. He could pay the $10 and plus the $2 of Chomesh, and he could pay it to the Bezdin. Umevi Ashamo, he brings the carbon Ashim to the base. Umevi Ashim Miskapar Lo, and he gets the full Kapara. That's the Takana Gadola he did. That's what Rabbi Tarfon says. So if the expense, meaning he has to pay five guys now $10, he only owes $10 really. Now we're making him pay $50, that's a lot more than what he really owes, more than the Karen, we don't make him pay. He drops the $10 and he runs. That was the Takana Gadola of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva says, Ki Avid Rabbana Takante, I agree that such a Takana exists, but when did they institute such a Takana? Heicha Diyada Laman Gazle. Only when he knew who he stole from. He knew the guy's in Australia, he owes him $10, but it's a big expense to get there. To come hadele mamon lemare, that he wants to get the money eventually to him. But gazel echa mechamisha, if you stole from one of five individuals, dilo yada leman gazle, and you don't know who you stole from, dilo hadele mamon lemare, and the money may not get to the rightful owner, the avri rabbanan takante, then you did not fulfill your obligation, in which case there is no takana, and you have to ensure that each individual gets paid money, so you have paid off your obligation.
So you don't know, so when you know the guy is in Australia, so that you can give it to Basin, but these five guys, you don't know you stole it from, so you can't give it to Basin?
Exactly, because the money will never get to the right guy, may not ever get to, you have 1 in 5 chance of him getting the money, but in Australia, he'll definitely get the money. It might take time until they get a guy who's going over there. Oh, you're going to Australia? Take this envelope.
We don't say let Bezin figure it out.
No, there's no way Bezin could figure it out. No one knew. No one was there present. Maybe they were. There's no way to figure it out. So, okay. Where are we now? Masa Rav Huna Bar Yehuda. I'm Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar. He quotes a statement from Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar. It says, Lo Nechleku Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, Al Shalakach Echen Mechamisha Ve'niyodea Mezim Emlakach. So they don't argue in the case when one of five, when the case of a guy bought from one of five people. There are five merchants. I bought from one of them. I don't know which one I bought from. So I owe money to one of you guys now. I know I took something. I know I bought something from you. I have a new shirt. I owe one of you guys $50. I don't know who's the right merchant. So what should you do? Everybody agrees. Here's the $50, and you guys figure this out. I need to go to my next meeting. When do they argue? Shegazel echad mechamisha, where I stole from one of the five, Bnei Adam, Veine yodea me'edim hem gazal, I don't know which one I stole from. In that case, Rabbi Tarfon Omer meniach deme gzela b'neim, there Rabbi Tarfon says, leave the money, umisalik, and you could run. And Rabbi Akiva Omer ein lo takana ad shishalim gzela lechalecha b'echad, you don't fulfill your obligation to pay each party. Now, if you think it's a case where they took a shvua, right, that's what we said above. When did Rabbi Akiva require you to pay each one? Only in a case of a shvua. So that's the case here. If it's a case of a shvua, mali lokach mali gaza. If I took a shvua, who cares if I took a shvua about gzela versus taking a shvua about a mekach umemkar? Once I take a shvua, I should have to pay every single person, even according to Rabbi Akiva. Look at Rashi. I assume there's a Rashi. Rashi says, Mali lokech, it's around 10 narrow lines up from the bottom. Hare nishba l'sheker. Vashvuas sheker k'siv l'asher hulo b'ina gezo b'ina shumaz yad b'heter asli yode. Right, if a guy gave me a shirt to buy, and I took a shvua, I paid him already, that's what Pasuk says. I owe him money, and I owe him a chomesh, I owe karban asham. So we're talking about a situation of a shvua. There shouldn't be a distinction if it's a mekach umemkar or if there's a gzela. In all circumstances, of a shvua, I have to do asher hulo. I have to make sure all five parties get it. Whether it's five guys I may have stole from or five guys I may have bought from. So that shouldn't be a distinction. From the fact that the Brisa makes a distinction between mekach umemkar and gzela, seems to indicate we're not talking about a case of shvua. We're talking about a regular case, and even in a regular case, there'd be kiva thing, because you have to pay him back each individual asher hulo. Ode, more, over. Masiv Rava. Rava asks a question. Ma'isa b'chassid echad. There's once an event with a certain chassid. Shelakach mishnei bnei adam v'loya yodeya me'ezim emlakach. He bought. There are two merchants next to each other tying a handle back and forth. He's confused. He buys from, takes the shirt from one of them and doesn't know which one he ended up taking from. So now what does he do? Who does he pay? So uba lefnei Rabbi Tarfon, went to Rabbi Tarfon amarlo hanach d'mei mekcha b'neim v'stalik. He asked Rabbi Tarfon this very question. He says, leave the money and let them fight about it. Balafnei Rabbi Kiva, then he went to Rabbi Kiva to Shaila. You can't really ask the same Shaila for two different poskim. Okay, but he asked Rabbi Kiva, maybe it's just a theoretical Shaila. Amar lo, it can't be actually, it actually was a real Maisa. So then he says to Rabbi Kiva, Amar lo, Ein lecha takana achi tishalim kol echar ve'echar. Nope, not good enough until you've paid each individual. Now I have to look in the back for a second why he could ask two Shailas, but let's see in a second. If you tell him the first one says,
if you said that it went to,
Could be that. Okay, maybe that's the shot. Okay, very good. Let's see. Let's get to the Gemara, then we'll look that up in a second. Now, if you were to think, if you thought this case here, this machlokas Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon, is only in the case of a shua sheker, would a chassid, a guy wouldn't be called a chassid if he's taking a shua sheker. Maybe he took a shua sheker first, then the other havi chassid. Then he became a chassid. He did tshuva afterwards. So that's the situation. It can't be. We have a klal. Whenever we have the statement, a ma'isa b'chassid echad, we have a mesorah that's either, oh, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, oh, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eli. The Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eli, both of these individuals were chassidim in the Meikar Havo. They were not Bali Tshuva. They were chassidim from the moment they were born. So clearly they were not thinking Shua Sheker. So what do we see? So Rabbi Kir, Rabbi Tarfon argue, even in a case where there is no Shua, we go back to square one. Who authored our Mishnah then? Who was the one who made a distinction? When you make a shvua, you have to chase the guy down to Ashaya, but when you didn't make a shvua, you don't have to chase the guy. So Elul Gemara says, you're right. The Olam Rabbi Tarfon must be Rabbi Tarfon. He, who mode Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon agrees that even though normally he says, Meniach umistalek, he agrees, Hecha d'shtaba. When you do take a shvua, then he agrees, then you have to pay at Lasher Hulo, to each individual, you have to chase him down to Madai, pay each of the five individuals. My time, and what's his reasoning? Because the pasuk says, "Lasher hulo yitnenu b'yom hashmaso." When there's hashmaso, meaning when there's a carbon shvua, that's when you have to pay each individual. But if there's just a regular case of gazela, then you don't have to pay each individual. It's enough to be meniach umistalik. But then Rabbi Kiva says, "Af agav de lo mishtabe kanus." You're right. Even though the pasuk is talking about a case when the shvua, only when there's a shvua do you have to pay back. But when there is no shvua, you don't have to do asher lo, you don't have to pay him back. Still, they penalized the gazlan. Even in a case of no shvua, we still require the gazlan to pay back each individual as a knas. And Rabbi Tarfon responds back to that, michdi. Let's understand this for a second. Heicha de mishtabe, when he makes a shvua, lo saga de lo hode, My area of a nishba, afi below shvu nami. So what's going on? What's the question here? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, six lines up. Rabbi Tarfon Michte, Amasnisen Parch. He's asking a question on the Mishnah. The Mishnah Damar Nishba in Lo Nishba Lo Vo Kimna Kirabi Tarfon. We said Rabbi Tarfon now is the author of the Mishnah. So it's a case of where there's a Shua, Lo Saga de la Hoda, says Rashi, De Kapara vi Shavon de Kra Ahoda Ksiv. De Ksiv Begeza Hager, Bo Hisvades Chatasim. It's talking about a case of Hoda. So what's the Shaila here? Let's understand this. Aha. So the only time a person's chayv shvua, if a guy takes a shvua sheker, the only time he's chayv to pay the chomesh and the karban is only if he admits on his own. If Aiden come and he's caught, then he doesn't pay a chomesh, he doesn't pay a karban asham. So then the question becomes, my yirya v'nishba, afilu below nishba, why is the case only of shvua, even without a shvua, he should have to run after Madai to fulfill his obligation? Why? What? How does that work? The Sanya, the Brisa says, "Mode Rabbi Tarfon beOmer l'shnayim gazalti echad mechem." He says to people, "I stole from one of you." Mana, ve'ni yodei ezem mechem nosen, ezem mechem. I don't know which one. Nosen l'zeh mana l'zeh money. He gives each of them a mana just to be safe. Shekvar holdem if you ask him, because he already admitted on his own. And says Rashi in the top of Kuf Dalad, Shekfar hold him in Pibatma of Ubala Taisi De Shemaim. He wants to fulfill his obligation. He doesn't have to, but he wants to do the best he can to do tshuva. V'yaf agav, says Rashi, the Bedina lo Matzi Mechaivle, even though Besin can't be Mechaivim, El Meniach Lefeim, all he has to really do is leave the money run. Mu Yidei Onesh Ein Yote Ad Shishal Mishneim Tehalav Lebayim Mahadre. He still doesn't get protected from any punishments till he actually returns the money back. So therefore, what are we suggesting here? Our Mishnah is a guy he admitted. He admitted he did something wrong. So he's obviously a guy who wants to do tshuva. So if he's a guy who wants to do tshuva, so forget the case of shua. Let's say there was no tshuva. He wants to do the best thing he could possibly do. So in that case, he should have to pay to every single person. What does a guy do who wants to do tshuva? You paid each guy and you chase him to Madai to do tshuva. So therefore, there shouldn't be the Mishnah shouldn't be limited to a case of shua alone. So therefore, we conclude it can't be Rabbi Tarfon either. So who authored the Mishnah? So Gemara says in the top of Kuftal, let's make it to the two dots. El Amar Rava, Rava says, Shaini Mas Nisan. Our Mishnah is different. Why? D'cheven d'yad l'man gazla, since he knew who he stole from, v'odi lo, and he admitted to it, k'even d'ef shalahaduri mamona l'mare havele k'man amrele yuli b'yadcha. Since he knows who he returned the money to, and he's admitting to it, it's as if he said, yihi li b'yadcha, you have money, yours in my hand.
As the victim says, back to the thing stole, you wait until...
Rahilka?
I can wait until I come back.
Aha. That's what, aha. So my money's in your hand.
Aha.
So Hilkach, therefore, nishba, if he makes yeshua, afa gav the kamerle yihi li biyancha, let my stuff money stay in your hand, came in to buy kapara lo sagi adamati liade. But the guy wants to do kapara now. The guy wants to do tshuva. So he says, since he wants to do tshuva and kapara, it's not enough until it gets to the guy's hands. So therefore, we let him pay. So he has to chase him down. Instead, go chase him down to pay the money. Don't wait here if you really want to do kapara. Halo shavi, but if there is no shvua, where there's no real need to kapara, there's no need for karban shvua at all, karban asham. And then have a gave pikadam. So now the nigdal says, hold on to the money, I'll come get it when I come get it. Then it's viewed simply as a pikadon, ad asav ashakale, until the guy comes and retrieves the money back. So that's the distinction. So again, when there's a shul, when there's a need for a kapara, carbon ashram, you can't bring the carbon ashram until you return the money back. So we say, if you want to do real kapara, go chase him down to Madai. But if there is no shul, the only thing is, as long as the guy is a mochel, or he gets, you know, wants the money back, if he's okay waiting to get the money back, since there's no need for carbon shua, no need for kabara, then he could just hold on to the money here and doesn't need to chase him down to Madai. Okay.
So, everyone have a one. Half would both agree.